good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, everybody. You are listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake. And today, I'm your host, Wendy Pilot. Robert is in a meeting today, so he won't be with us. So it's going to be Ogama and I today. Hi, Ogama. How are you?
Hey, Wendy. Thanks. It's a good day. I got my second COVID vaccine today. Today's definitely a good day. Hopefully tomorrow will be just as good. You know, you always hope that the second vaccine won't make you feel a little yucky, but I'm pretty well prepared thanks to all the wonderful guests we've had, making sure that I know what to expect when it comes to COVID-19 and vaccines.
That's fantastic. Robert and I are getting our second shot next week, so we're excited about that. We discuss national and Twin Cities Native American news and events, and as you all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. And this portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline, and you can call them at 651-304-9986, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. with your COVID-19 questions. So today is Thursday, and Thursdays we have the pleasure to have Robert Lilligren on our show, and Robert is the director of Native American Community Development Institute, and we go and call it NATCI. And Robert is fantastic because he brings such fantastic information and newsworthy information for us. But first, we're going to go to Ogama with the news and events. And she shares with us all kinds of information and news and events for Turtle Island. So welcome again, Ogama.
All right. So as always, I like to start with the Stop Line 3 updates and news. Happening right now in Backus, Minnesota is the Thirsty Thursdays for the water. I believe they're having a contest to see who has the best water. They should be live somewhere on Facebook, I'm assuming, with Honor the Earth and a couple of other places. So make sure you try to check that out. I'm going to go a little bit out of order today, and I'm going to start with an event that's coming up on Monday so that people are aware this is coming up. So on Monday, March 22nd at 12 p.m. is going to be World Water Day Prayer at the River. That is going to take place at the Wild Rice Protection Camp in Bagley, Minnesota. They are calling for drums and pipe carriers, and all are welcome to come stand in solidarity on World Water Day to join in prayer and resistance to Enbridge's Line 3 pipeline. Meet at Minuteman Protector Camp on White Earth between 11 and 12 p.m. And then it's talking about how Enbridge is rushing to build the pipeline right next to the headwaters of the Mississippi. So, you know, that's really important. And if you haven't been to the Wild Rice Protection Camp yet, that you make sure to get up there. It's a beautiful drive. You won't be disappointed. There's going to be a lot of really exciting things happening there. So that's what I wanted to touch base on first. And then coming out after that, coming up tomorrow, Friday the 19th, is the Defund Campaign Rally from Stop the Money Pipeline. So that's the Defund Line 3. That one is an online event starting at 12 p.m. Central Time. And then also on Friday, starting at 11 a.m. until about 3 p.m., is the Stop Line 3 Caravan Tour. That one is in person in northern Minnesota. It is going to leave from the Quick Trip in Carlton on Highway 210 at about 11 a.m. And make sure you come and be prepared. You can check out the event online. It is hosted by the Sierra Club North Star Chapter, MN350, and Honor the Earth. And then also coming up on Monday, March 22nd, is an event hosted by MN350. And I think this is an important one to touch base on, too. It's called Climate Change, Line 3, and Our Emotions. Why Do We Numb Ourselves? And it's talking about how emotions relate to showing up for climate justice and Line 3. And that people, you know, may report feelings of numbness or deadened emotions or hopelessness. And it's going to be a conversation with Dr. Leif Griffin, exploring cognitive dissonance and and how it affects our ability to cope emotionally with climate change. So that looks like a really good event. I know I, for one, have experienced those kinds of feelings over time. I'm sure you have too, Wendy, with you and Robert being involved with Standing Rock and now Line 3.
Yeah, definitely. I think anybody who puts themselves out there for any type of activism, no matter what it is, sometimes really gets, you know, you get down in the dumps because everything doesn't go your way and you just see that you're trying and trying and trying and you're not making any changes. But I think that we also all have to be really hopeful for the really small changes that we make. And even just bringing awareness to a certain subject really is what we're here to do. So, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And it can be really, really hard to,
it is.
You know, just keep your spirits up and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I sometimes with my animal activism, that really, you know, sometimes really saddens me, if I'm working on a certain subject that I want to get through or, you know, change that needs to happen and it doesn't happen. And year after year, I'm talking about the same thing over and over again. That kind of brings me down. But we all have to be hopeful for small changes and victories, right?
Yes, absolutely. You know, and you do get those small victories across the way, but you know, when you look at the overall big picture, I just had a conversation with somebody about this today, and literally we were wondering, why is it so hard for people to understand that water is life? I think it's because people haven't been inconvenienced yet. People don't realize, you know, what is really going to happen, and by that point it'll be too late. So on that note, I do want to mention one more thing about Line 3. Tanya Abed has been doing a hunger strike to help stop Line 3. Today, I believe March 20th, so this coming Saturday, is going to be Tanya Abed's 35th day of a hunger strike to stop Line 3. Minnesota Interfaith Power and Light is asking everybody, wherever you are, to join in community and this solidarity with this fast, and fast if you can, safely for you, obviously if you have health problems, but Saturday from sunrise to sunset, no solid food. Take a picture and post it with the hashtag hunger strike to stop Line 3, and that's the number 3.
Wow.
So that's,
I can't even
one.
Imagine doing anything like that, honestly. Hopefully she is staying safe and she's drinking water and electrolytes, like Pedialyte and things like that. So yeah,
I believe so. That's what I've heard.
I mean, she has to be, or else she must be skinny. Oh my goodness.
I've heard it's a really spiritual process to fast for that long, so I really hope that she's feeling, you know, good about that.
Mm-hmm.
In other news, I want to touch base that the White Earth Nation has decided to boost their minimum wage to $16 an hour, which is now going to be the highest in the state of Minnesota.
Wow.
So that's good news. Good for you, and great job, White Earth Nation, on that. And then we've got... so did you hear about the Minneapolis Police Department clearing another homeless encampment on Northside?
I did not hear about that. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so the Minneapolis Sanctuary Movement posted on Facebook that Jacob Frey sent in the Minneapolis Police Department to clear out an encampment near Northside. And it exists on, the encampment exists on city-owned land. So the cops, the video, it's linked on the Minneapolis Sanctuary Movement, but the links show some violent behavior from the police and a police officer putting a neck, or putting a boot to the neck of somebody during this process. So there's definitely video on Twitter, on the Solidarity Network campaign to defend Near North Camp, and then Open Collective for Minneapolis, Northside Mutual Aid. There's going to be camp support, food and hot drinks in that area. The camp is safe and secure at this time, but last night it looks like it was in pretty rough shape. So prayers out to those unhoused relatives looking for a place to go.
You know, cops are supposed to be public servants and out there to help people, and I don't understand. I've read reports where there have been cases, and again, not all cases happen like this, but there have been a few cases where the police will go to a homeless encampment and actually cut up the tents and sometimes even throw bleach on the tents. So it's really sad that has to happen, and maybe these people just need some more help and some more empathy.
I agree.
Yeah, you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we will be back after this short break with Robert Lilligren. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
We have vital information we would like to share with you. The Department of Indian Works St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on testing sites, isolation space, vaccines, housing assistance, and food resources. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19 or has questions to determine if you should get tested, please call them at 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986. The University of Minnesota Duluth Department of American Indian Studies is accepting applications for the Master of Tribal Resource and Environmental Stewardship. With this degree, you'll develop the skills to help tribal governments manage natural resources and navigate the legal, cultural, and political contours of tribal sovereignty. And you can take all the courses online to apply for the Fall 2021 Masters of Tribal Resources and Environmental Stewardship at Minnesota Duluth. Visit umdmtrees.org. That's umdmtrees.org.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake.
We are Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and today I am your host, Wendy Pilot. I'm in for Robert. Robert is in a meeting, and we need some live feed here. Patrick, if you could hear us at the mother station in Eden Prairie, we need some live feed so that Robert Lilligren can hear us. And Robert, if you could hear us, just give me a thumbs up so I know that you could hear us. I don't see a thumbs up. So,
yeah, well, Patrick, I believe you need to send the audio to clean, or I'm sorry, you need to route the audio to the StreamYard. So what's happening is StreamYard can't hear us on Facebook, which also means that Robert Lilligren can't hear us. So if you could, please put some live audio through.
Oh, I think you could hear us, Robert. I just heard you. All right, we're having some technical difficulties here, but we will get this straightened out, and hopefully we'll have Robert Lilligren on here in just a minute. Patrick, if you're listening.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hey, Robert, how are you?
I can't hear you. You look great.
I'm sorry that you can't hear us. Can we go to break right now and let's see if we could fix this, and then we'll come back with Robert. Patrick? Oh my goodness, I knew this was gonna happen.
Hey Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry. If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Stronghearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Stronghearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Hey Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest Native-centered news is not easy, but with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Are you wondering what's going on with our real estate market right now? Then why not become a house geek? Hi, I'm Kirk Duckwall with Bricks Real Estate and host of the Twin Cities Real Estate Show here with your Market Minute. 4.86 is the average number of showings per week per listing in the median sale price range, and this is a key indicator of current demand in our marketplace. The median sale price is up by 8% over the same time last year, which is at about $297,000. The 30-year conventional interest rate is at around 3.33%. This is historically low and is virtually unchanged over last week. So what does this mean for sellers? Showing activity is slower than it was last year at the same time. However, due to the low inventory of homes for sale, activity is still showing it is a seller's market. For buyers, you are able to schedule showings with your realtor if you are taking proper precautions. Are you thinking about making a move? Then remember, you can check us out online anytime at housegeeks.com.
The University of Minnesota Duluth Department of American Indian Studies is accepting applications for their Master of Tribal Administration and Governance. This degree is designed to develop the knowledge needed to work as an administrator in tribal government. Plus, you'll learn about the principles of sovereignty, ethics, law, budgets, and leadership. And you can take all the courses online. To apply for the Fall 2021 Master of Tribal Administration and Governance at Minnesota Duluth, visit umdmtag.org. That's umdmtag.org.
This is Santita Jackson, Minneapolis, St. Paul. I couldn't be more excited about starting our days together, Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 a.m. Central, on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Clear and chilly tonight with a low of 27, then more sunshine Friday and a high of 52. Tax season is already upon us, so get started with Moe's Tax in St. Paul. Working for you, not the IRS, since 1971. Call 612-721-2026 or visit moestax.com. That's M-O-H-S-Tax.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake, and I'm your host today, Wendy Pilot, and I'm in for Robert Pilot today. Robert is on a meeting, and he's on a meeting, and I think Robert's having a little bit of FOMO today. That's called fear of missing out, and I'm wondering if Robert Lilligren is able to hear us now, and if you could just give us a thumbs up whether you could hear me or not, Robert. Looks like Robert still can't hear us. Robert, Lilligren is the director of Native American Community Development Institute, and we say NADCI for short, and that's in Minneapolis. And we had a lot of good things we were going to talk to Robert about today, but for some reason, there is something going on that he cannot hear us. This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You can call them at 651-304-9986, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. with your COVID-19 questions. Ogama, you were telling me earlier today that you got your second COVID-19 shot today, your vaccination. I'm really glad to hear that. And I was curious to know whether you got it in the same arm that you got your first vaccine in, or did you think to get it in your next arm? I'm not really sure whether I'm going to do it in. I got it in my left arm my first time, and I did have my arm was really sore for a while, a few days at least. But I'm thinking that if I get it in my right arm, since I am a righty, I'll be moving my arm around a lot more. And then this way the vaccine will go through the muscle better and maybe I'll get a better response. I don't know. So we'll see if I decide to do that or not. But
I did mine opposite. So I got my first one in my left arm because that's my non-dominant arm. Okay. And then I did this one in my right arm. And I'll tell you what, I can definitely feel it.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully you will not get any reaction and you'll feel pretty good. But if you do get a response and you do get a fever and chills and sometimes people get fatigued, that's just your immune system telling you that you're having a good response and that you have a good awake immune system. So that's fantastic.
Exactly.
Yeah, but hopefully you won't. I do want to talk a little bit about which we were going to talk about with Robert Lilligren, and maybe as soon as he can hear us, hopefully he'll just pop on. I wanted to talk about Deb Haaland, who got sworn in today as Secretary, Interior Secretary, and I'm so proud. And it was wonderful that I saw her on a New Yorker magazine cover, or maybe it was in one of the pages, but she was wearing a beautiful traditional Native American skirt and she had moccasins on as well. And yeah. I don't know if you could tell me, Ogama, about being Native American and what that might have meant to you for her wearing that, her traditional. We have about a minute here. We're going to go back to break again.
Yeah, no, it's really, really powerful, I think, to see those kinds of things in such high places in the country. You know, it's unusual for the history of the United States to have Native people in those kinds of positions, and to see somebody in one of the highest offices in the U.S. government able to make change and work for all of us, and to be elected to that, or, you know, to be nominated and approved for that position, you know, not just for Native people, but for all people in the country. I think it's really important, and it means a lot to see those moccasins and that connection to our history on the government side. So I'm really proud and I'm really excited to have her in that role.
Hey, Wendy, yeah. not to jump in, but unless you want to be talking for about 25 minutes, you'll want to hold off on going to break.
Okay. Then I will hold off. Maybe
we'll hold off for now.
Leave the music in the background for a little while longer. But we're trying still to get Robert Lilligren on. And hopefully we will be able to get him on. And if we can't, then Ogama and I are going to do the show today. I'm going to have to ask Robert to give me back my phone because he has my piece that I was going to be talking about later on. But maybe I'll just talk about it a little bit and then I'll be able to read from it. But Ogama, did you know that in, first of all, what I want to say is I'm not for zoos, and I don't really think that animals should be kept in zoos and caged up like that. I think that there are certain zoos maybe in the United States and in the world that do an okay job, but I think mostly they don't do good jobs and they just keep the animals, you know, caged up, and I think animals should be in their natural habitat. But what I wanted to talk about is that, and every time I talk about animals, I get an animal either barking or meowing, and I have the cat here sitting with me. But anyway, in certain zoos, and I'm going to look up which ones, they are actually giving vaccines to some of their animals there. So some orangutan, gorillas, and baboons are being vaccinated against COVID-19 because there were a group of about six in one zoo who all came down with COVID-19, and they had to quarantine them. And as far as I know, with the article that I was reading from NPR News, that the apes are recovering and they are feeling better and they're back to their old selves and, you know, climbing around on things.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear. Hey, Wendy, I was going to see if we can maybe, I'm trying to see if I can get Robert Lilligren to say something. I think we'd be able to hear him on air.
Okay.
Robert, can you go ahead? Introduce yourself, maybe.
I don't think he could hear us.
Hey, Wendy. Hey,
oh,
Ogama.
Hey, how are you?
You guys can hear me. I can't hear you.
Okay.
So I can keep talking. Thank you. I can hear myself, which is really kind of distracting, but I'm glad to be here. Okay. I was just going to try to turn on the radio, and so maybe I thought maybe I could hear that. But I feel kind of weird doing just a monologue, but it's great to be here. Nice to see you both. Thanks for having me. And I just talked about a couple of things to talk about tonight. One of them.
Are you still there? Oh. Now we lost Robert, I believe. So I'm going to kind of take over for a minute. I'm not hearing Robert Lilligren on the air anymore. Looks like we lost him with the headset. So hang in there with us, guys. I've got an interesting article right here. I've got a little bit more news I can share. So everybody's pretty familiar with like the North Face jackets and that brand. And E&E News reported that the North Face kind of got an unexpected and unwelcome honor earlier this month. So the Colorado Oil and Gas Association gave its customer appreciation award to the North Face company, but it wasn't really a great idea because North Face actually rejected to have their holiday jacket to order from Innovex Downhole Solutions. And basically what it means is even though North Face does use some petrochemicals in its product, they did not want Houston Oilfield Services, who were contracted, to have their well-known brand and famous logo associated with the fossil fuel industry. So that is really, really interesting. And then the move to treat this Innovex company by the North Face is they also treat them the same way basically gun, tobacco, or pornography would be treated, all of which are formally banned from applying their logos to North Face products. So there's been some headlines and it seems like, you know, a little bit of negative PR with that. But you know, I got to give some applauds there to the North Face for doing that. I think it says something. I mean, we can't totally always completely get ourselves away from fossil fuel at this time. We just haven't moved to hemp and those other really important resources that could get us out of this fossil fuel economy that we have. But I do think that it's really important that we, where we can, we stop those synonyms, you know, those synergistic relationships. And mm-hmm. I applaud the North Face for not doing that. What do you think, Mindy?
Yeah, definitely. I think so, too. You know, that reminds me when you're bringing this up that, and I don't know if you saw it, and I really have to find it, but there was a high school student, and she made a jacket to stop line three, like a stop line three. I'm trying to look it up right now. Stop line three
jacket. I did see that.
high school girl.
I think it was anti-pipeline. I don't know if it was specifically Stop Line 3. I think it was an anti-pipeline jacket.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And it maybe was for a Canadian company, if I remember.
It was. It looked like exactly right. Yes.
It was black and it had a white line across it.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was really interesting, too. There's definitely anti-pipeline movement all over the world right now. We know how bad these things are for the environment, and yet here we are. You know, going back to the synthetic materials, that E&E article talked about how if you're wearing synthetics right now, you're inhaling microplastics, and that the textile industry is a really big problem, and part of the reason why there's so many microplastics that are happening is because the breakdown of those clothes that are woven with plastic threads in washing machines and through everyday use is contributing to the microplastic pollution problem. And that was according to a 2017 study from the International Union for Conservation of Nature and Natural Resources, which is an intergovernmental environmental group. So, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb and say they know what they're talking about. And they do say there is cause for concern for the level of microplastics that we have right now. It's affecting humans and it's affecting other species. You know, the microplastics are one of those things like kind of like COVID-19, they're like a tiny, scary germ that you can't see and you try not to think about. But, you know, that's not the way to solve these problems, to avoid them.
Exactly. And I just found the article. It was a Toronto high school student. She took her passion for activism and turned it into a statement piece, an anti-pipeline themed jacket. The Down the Pipe, it was called Puffer. Down the Pipe Puffer was created by students from the 61X Academy, a national award-winning program at Central Toronto Academy, with the help of Moose Knuckles and Woodpecker founder Will Foho. So the jacket's blue reflection represents an oil spill. The inside textile depicts the blueprint for a pipeline, and messages like warning, harmful to wildlife, are woven into the fabric. Oh, I love that. I'm going to have to get this jacket. I don't know. Toronto high school student took her passion for activism and turned it into a real statement piece, an anti-pipeline. Yeah, I'm just reading it now. So good for her, really. And she was only 16 years old who did this. So really good for her. She's really going to go places with her fashion design and her activism. Absolutely. So,
yeah, that's really powerful too. And, you know, you always bring it up, Wendy, and I try to bring it up, especially, you know, when you're involving children and, that, you know, it's not just human beings that stand to be hurt by pipelines and really terrible, business practices and environmentally destructive business practices. It's our animal relatives too, that are really facing the first and most immediate, repercussions of these types of things, right, Wendy?
Absolutely, definitely. And I was talking yesterday about the pipeline up north and the activism that they had up there. And they had the big, did you see pictures of the big bear and the big wolf and then the woman in the big jingle dress? So these, actually these figures that they made, I'm going to say they're at least 10 feet tall. I mean, they had people inside walking them and making them move, but that just goes to show how important wildlife is, and that they need the water to live and to survive.
Absolutely, yes. We all need water to live and survive. But, you know, the construction of these types of projects really damages their hearing and their environment. You know, it might scare them out of a place where, you know, they intended to den down and maybe, you know, make baby animals, or they are hibernating and they're being awoken by these machines that are operating in the wintertime. You know, this is a place where they move through and hunt. I mean, there's so many aspects to this that I don't think human beings really comprehend completely.
Exactly.
We talk about it, and there's really no way to study any of that either. Mm-hmm. And even if there was, I mean, they're not really studying it, you know?
Exactly. Absolutely. You know, we're talking about line three a lot, but I think what we can learn from is like the Keystone XL pipeline. There's an article here that I have from National Geographic that four animals and three habitats were in the path, and how devastating it was to these habitats. And even now in, you know, line three right now, even though the pipeline is going in the ground and it's not yet fully in the ground, it's really, you know, wreaking havoc on these animals. There was one report that Enbridge was bulldozing over early on bear dens. So there were bears that were sleeping in the dens that were right in the way, right in the pathway of the pipeline. But of course, you know, they're not waiting for a sleeping bear to wake up in the spring. They're just going to, you know, pummel right over it. You know, they're just going to pummel right over it and do what they have to do. For the Keystone pipeline, there's lots of documented cases of so many wildlife species that were put into danger and really hurt. We should all be able, and people too, of course, right? So why can't we learn from this? Why can't we move on and learn from this? And it seems like we keep doing the same thing over and over again. And that's the definition of insanity, right? You keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, and you don't get this, you know, you get a different result. It's like right now with the COVID we're getting everybody vaccinated. We're looking better. We're feeling good, and now they're reopening everything, right? And now everybody's going out and partying. There's going to be spring break. There's people down in Florida sitting, you know, shoulder to shoulder, you know, talking and drinking and partying, and they're seeing upticks in the virus in these places. And it just seems like, and I don't, what do we have to do, bang our heads against the wall? Like we just don't learn. I don't know what it is. Is it human nature? Is it just that we want to do what we want to do when we want to do it? People don't want to be told what to do, when to do it. It's really maddening and frustrating. So I don't know what you think.
It really is maddening and frustrating.
It is. You know, and I just feel right now that we've come so far and so close, you know, and as we've been hearing that the Native American community has really been doing a great job vaccinating their people better than you know, the general public. So they're really boosting it up. And I'm hearing, I don't know if Robert Lilligren is there. I think we're hearing a little bit of his feedback. I'm not sure. Okay. But
yeah, we're definitely hearing a little bit of audio feedback here at the moment.
Okay.
Oh,
hello. I don't know. Are we going to get something here today? I don't know what's going on.
But, I don't know.
Yeah. We'll have to give, since Thursdays is Robert's day to, Robert Lilligren's day to talk, and this technical difficulty happened today, we're going to have to give him another day, right? We're going to have to bring him back. Maybe.
Well, what I'm going to try to do is get him on the phone here.
Oh, that's a great idea. That would be great. But I think that what we're going to do, if the clock is right, we have about 2 minutes and 40 seconds, but that would be okay, Ogama, if you could get Robert Lilligren on the phone and we could just hear him like that. We can go to, after 2 minutes, we can go to break, and when we come back, we could listen to Robert then.
Yep, I think that would be good.
Yeah, definitely.
Robert Lilligren says he can hear us now. Can we hear you, Robert? Why don't you go ahead and say something?
This is so ridiculous. Okay.
So he can hear us, but I don't know if we can hear him. Robert, can you say something? Oh, we can't hear him now. So he can hear us now, but we can't hear him.
Well, now it's the opposite. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, you know, sometimes this happens. You know, even when I watch MNBC or I watch, CNN, they have technical difficulties too. So I'm just going to go with the flow and have technical difficulties. And hopefully we're going to go to break here soon, but I just have to keep talking for another minute and 32 seconds. So if you can, jump in anytime you want, Ogama. So
yeah, I got another event that Bob Blake talked about yesterday. Saturday, March 27th at 10 a.m. is Be It Resolved, We Declare Climate Emergency. And that's going to have Robert Blake, Dr. Sam Grant, Patty Acomb, and Jamie Long. And it's going to be a forum talking about the climate emergency that we are definitely in and people don't want to talk about. So check out the link on Facebook for the Zoom to join in on that one.
Wow, that's excellent. Thank you for that. The music is coming up nice and slow. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake. I've been your host today, Wendy Pilot. I'm in for Robert Pilot. He's in a meeting, and of course, everything's going wrong. But I have a wonderful Ogama here holding down the ship. And we're just going to chat. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the apes being vaccinated when we come back after this break. And we will be back here. Native Roots Radio, I'm awake. Hey Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
We have vital information we would like to share with you. The Department of Indian Works St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on testing sites, isolation space, vaccines, housing assistance, and food resources. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19 or has questions to determine if you should get tested, please call them at 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are Alusa Nation.
And we're back. This is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I am your host today, Wendy Pilot. I'm in here for Robert Pilot. He's probably glad he's gone because it's just been a disaster today. But what can I say? We are waiting, and we have, I think, hopefully, I'm going to keep my fingers crossed, Robert Lilligren. He is the director of the Native American Community Development Institute, NACDI in Minneapolis. And are you with us right now, Robert?
I can hear you, Wendy. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. There's a little bit of an echo, but that's okay.
We're good.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, before, when you couldn't hear us, Ogama and I were talking about Deb Haaland and her. She was sworn in today. And I was telling Ogama, and I wanted to get your thoughts on her beautiful wearing the traditional Native American skirt and her moccasins, and what that kind of like means to the Native American community.
You know, thanks for asking, and sorry about all that sound weirdness and stuff. I'm glad I'm on, and thanks for having me, Wendy, and Ogama. Great to be here.
Glad you're here, too.
I'm glad we got you in before the end. I'm so happy to hear your voice, Robert.
Oh, I'm happy to hear yours, too. So, yeah, it was beautiful, wasn't it? Not just Secretary Haaland, but her family. The women in her family were in ribbon skirts as well. And that's just, it's so beautiful. It's so empowering. You know, it reminded me of being at the inaugural for our Lieutenant Governor, Peggy Flanagan, and then at the sort of inaugural ball. And remember, we took a picture of all these women, and maybe you were there, Wendy or Ogama, that we're all in ribbon skirts, you know, and it just does something for you.
Everybody knows that I am not Native American, but I am an ally, and I was given a Native American name, Hanajihihani, by our elder in our family, Curtis, which I always thank him for, and a woman who I know who's Native American gifted me a ribbon skirt, so I have two different ribbon skirts that I wear, which really, really mean the world to me, honestly.
Wow, Wendy. You got more than me. I think I only have one.
So, yeah, red, so cool.
Red one and red one, yeah.
You know, in South Minneapolis, I live right on Franklin Avenue, and of course, our office is on Franklin Avenue in the same building, Powell Grounds Coffee Shop. All my relations arts gallery is in. And this one day I got on the bus here and two women got on wearing ribbon skirts. It was like 8 a.m, you know, and these two women, I was like, oh, that just makes me feel so good. I took a picture of them where you couldn't really see them posted on social media. I'm like, I just love riding the number two. But there's women in ribbon skirts. It's so good to see yourself represented.
Mm-hmm. And, and today with her being sworn in, I could just imagine all the wet eyes and the emotion of, so many people in the United States, especially Native American people, seeing that.
Yeah, here. It's just, it's the whole confirmation process, right, has been really engaging Native people. It's just a whole different day, you know, and you had your little ID there from Representative Sharice Davids as well, you know, and it's a game changer. And, you know, even in sort of in the online world, a few years ago, if you would search for Native American images, the first 90 or so images that came up were all from before 1915. Wow. Which just kind of reinforced that narrative that Native people are not contemporary, not relevant to today. But since things like Sharice's election, Deb Haaland's election, our Lieutenant Governor's election, now when you Google Native American images, those are the things that you see.
Well,
which I think is just so refreshing.
Be able to see. Yeah.
Right,
that's what we
right.
should see. Yeah, absolutely. Right. So in your neck of the woods, in Minneapolis, Franklin Avenue, that area over there, how has the trial of the former officer, Derek Chauvin, been affecting that area?
You know, it's so interesting. We're right down, just south of downtown, just a few blocks. The American Indian Culture Quarter on East Franklin is pretty close to the courthouse and all of those relevant public buildings. And so, you know, we're seeing what everyone's seeing with the board ups and the barricades and things like that. But the cool thing that's happening, Wendy and Ogama, is that the community's coming together. You know, and last summer during the unrest following George Floyd's murder, you know, the community came out, the protectors, organizations like American Indian Community Development Corporation, AIM, the Little Earth Protectors are just amazing. They're out every night year round. So all of the protectors have come together. We're doing collaborative planning for whatever might come through this trial. We're seeking resources collaboratively to support these efforts. We have more time to plan. you know, than we had last year. And I got to tell you, it's just been really heartwarming, the high level of collaboration, the high level of trust, the high level of respect amongst these really varied groups of people who are coming together to protect the community. And they're groups that don't always trust each other, you know. And so it's just, it feels so good. It feels like we're really indigenizing the way we come together. We're respecting each other's roles, what each other brings. So that's something that will sustain beyond whatever happens with this trial.
Yeah. And I, you know, they had, I think, 6 jurors, and now they dismissed a couple because of the $27 million that was awarded to the family. And, you know, they went back to the jurors and asked the jurors about, you know, what they felt about that money and what it meant. So they had to get rid of 3 jurors. So I think it's going to take longer and longer to find these 12 people who are going to be able to, not have any preconceived notions, and who will be, you know, good jurors. And I just feel like this trial is going to drag on for a really, really long time. And I hope that the Native American community and the people in that area are not going to be affected by this for so long.
Right. Well, it does affect you, right? I mean, it just kind of wears on you. It's re-traumatizing, re-triggering. I know they added a couple more jurors back in, so they're kind of moving forward. But just the idea that justice could be delayed through this process, you know, that can anger people, that can trigger people. It's just a whole other dynamic to deal with here. And so whatever's going to happen is going to happen, and we need justice here. So I hope it keeps moving along at a pace.
I wish we could have you on longer. We have about a minute left, but I wanted you to tell our audience about the community arts project. Was there a community arts project?
Yeah, there is around the Wall of Forgotten Natives. Folks might know it by that name. It was this really large encampment that sprung up right in the American Indian Culture Corridor, right off Franklin Avenue in Hiawatha in South Minneapolis, in the summer, fall of 2018. And it was huge, and it was a game changer here for the community. It really elevated awareness of the issues that a lot of our relatives are struggling with, raised the issues in the broader population. And so now the Minnesota Department of Transportation has taken this very seriously, and they're trying to figure out what to do with that land. They control it, the Wall of Forgotten Natives. And so they've engaged our organization, our All My Relations Arts Gallery, to work with the community to put a wrap around the fence that expresses, you know, our community sentiments around housing and things. And then hopefully we'll convene for a longer design process about what the permanent use of that land is, medicine gardens, things like that. But it's really encouraging that Minnesota Department of Transportation has realized something important happened there, and they just can't go forward as if it didn't.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Robert. Thank you so much for being on today. I am so sorry about all these technical
difficulties.
Please
don't apologize.
We're going to have to give you another day. I would like to end with these thoughts. Right. Have you been listening to this show? You are the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake.